Curtis Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Lewa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Lewa from WAPC Radio.
Curtis Lewa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
We're Haldeman, Ehrlichman,
Mitchell,
and Dean. The way we've been treated is really obscene. To think that a bug worth hardly a shrug could end up by getting us tossed in the jug.
Today, we all got 7 minutes after the hour of 5 here on the Drive Home at 5. Whether you're talking with Democrats who are like all lined up in chorus like sirens, ready for the good ship Trump to smash to shore into 1,000 pieces and to smithereens, or you're those different Republicans who are now emerging making those Watergate comparisons. That is the state that Donald Trump finds himself in as president of the United States before he heads off on his trip to the Vatican, to Israel, and to Saudi Arabia, which will consume most of his next week. But before he did so, he actually spoke earlier today at the Coast Guard graduation, in which he was moaning about his fate as president of the United States.
Look at the way I've been treated lately, especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams. I guess that's why I won. Thank you. I guess that's why we won.
And in fact, it was, I think this past Friday, that Christopher Hahn, progressive liberal heartthrob and human piñata who gets smacked around on the Fox News channel, was substituting for Ron Kuby, whose mommy is a commie, on the Curtis and Kuby show. When you said, Christopher, something that resonated as soon as I heard that Comey had taken meticulous notes of a sit-down that he had with the president in the Oval Office a day after the president had fired General Flynn for lying to Vice President Pence, you said, beware of Comey, he takes meticulous notes. Was I right about that?
I was right about that, and I definitely said that on a lot of shows over the weekend and last week, and let's be clear, the guy's a prosecutor, a former prosecutor, I'm a lawyer. Lawyers, after they have meetings that raise questions, they usually write notes about it, and they sometimes write memos and either send it to themselves or somebody else to make sure they have a paper trail. Comey did this before. He did this when George W. Bush was trying to push through some techniques of interrogation that he felt were torture, and he disagreed with it. He wrote a memo to his chief of staff. That came out in his hearing later on in the Bush administration when the Democrats took over the Congress, and it also led to him becoming the FBI director under Obama.
All right, but Christopher Hahn, he writes a memo to himself. He puts it into a fat file he probably has on President Donald Trump. And let's hypothetically imagine that he never got sacked. He fulfilled his 10 years in office. What would have happened to that memo that now has been floated out by his supporters?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, I think that the memo is out there right now, and I think they probably would have used it eventually. You can't just go public with an accusation like that in the middle of an investigation. It could have a chilling effect on the agents doing the investigation of the president.
All right, but Chris Fahan, why not, if the president has sat with you in his Oval Office and has asked you to forget General Flynn. Look, I just sacked him. I fired him for lying to Vice President Pence. Forget your investigation. MoveOn.org. MoveOn.org. Why wouldn't I have shared that information with my superiors in the Justice Department? Why might I not have gone to a congressional intelligence committee and reported this activity? It does seem, if true, that the president has basically asked James Comey to end an investigation on a person that he had appointed.
You know, at the time, he couldn't share with any superior at the Justice Department. There was no deputy, and Jeff Sessions was recused.
No, I
understand
and like
that.
Like I said, this would have a chilling effect on the investigation going forward. This is the President of the United States. You're in the middle of a major investigation. This is part of that investigation. It's an ongoing investigation, not just into the president's behavior, but into a counterterrorism investigation of how the Russians influenced our election. For Comey to have come forward at that point in time would have jeopardized a counterterrorism investigation that needed to be dealt with.
Well, we're eventually going to hear from James Comey because the former FBI director has insisted that if he is to appear on the Hill, he wants to do so publicly, not behind closed doors. And he will be asked on three occasions, did you reassure the president that, in fact, he was not a target of this investigation? And let's just, again, hypothetically imagine that, yeah, he said, yeah, on three different occasions, I let him know he was not a target of this investigation. What would the point of saving that memo have been then if he wasn't a target of the investigation?
The president was always a subject of the investigation, if not a target, because the investigation was into collusion between Donald Trump's campaign and the Russians. Director Comey testified to that on the record in front of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. So to say he wasn't a target is just a term of art. He was a subject. It was a thread. They were going to pull on that thread until the entire suit was bare, and I think you would have seen a naked Donald Trump under that suit, which is why he fired Comey, which is why he's chummy with the Russians, which is why he wants this investigation to go away. He has some explaining to do to the American people, and I kind of agree that we're at a point in time where, you know, people have to be very concerned about the future of this presidency and the security of this country, quite frankly.
Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that this will all come out in time, and the pressure is on the Trump administration and obviously on his surrogates, because James Comey's surrogates can say anything now, and it will get into the front pages of the New York Times and the Washington Post without James Comey having to leave his fingerprints on it or verify the accuracy of that. So it does seem that the president is very handicapped in this series of leaks that have come out from, I'll just call them friends of James Comey, as they have been described, people who worked with him in the FBI. But let's, again, hypothetically imagine that President Trump had been sworn into office, and then within 2 or 3 days he had sacked James Comey back then when most people were urging him to do so. Christopher Hahn, you would have been applauding that decision, wouldn't you?
No, I mean, look, I think the president had a right to do whatever he wanted when he first came into office. He could have replaced him then. And it leads to even more suspicion now that he replaced him now. I mean, look, I said this to you last week, Curtis. I have suspicion about some of the decisions he made last year. But the guy seems to be a straight shooter to me. I don't always agree with the way. Look, you always get mad at the referee, Curtis, when he blows the whistle against your team. So, of course, every Democrat in America was mad at him last year when he blew the whistle on Hillary Clinton. Now he's blown the whistle on President Trump. President Trump's reaction was to fire him. That is suspicious. It is dubious. Taken with what we hear right now from this memo, and believe me, Curtis, write this down. There will be other memos. There will be other sets of notes from President Trump's interaction with James Comey. It will all come out in the next couple of weeks. And at the end of this process, I think we're going to have a new president.
Well, let me take a memo here and put it in my Christopher Hahn file right now and what you've just said. So that we can
write a memo to yourself.
Yeah, so I'm writing a memo to myself. I'm storing it in my dossier that I keep on everyone who has substituted here at WABC like you. But bottom line is, he's not coming back as FBI director. We need an FBI director to continue on the work that they do, both internationally and nationally. Do you have any particular candidate in mind, since we're looking at potential candidates fall to the wayside? Troy Gowdy, we saw Corin, the U.S. Senator of Texas. Your favorite for U.S. Supreme Court judge nominated by Barack Obama. He has said ixnay to that. Is there anyone in your mind who could actually fill the bill?
You know, it has to be somebody completely independent and beyond reproach. I like Ray Kelly. I thought he was a good commissioner of New York City. I think he'd be a good FBI director. I think he's an independent-minded guy who won't be bullied by the president in any way. So I think you need to have somebody like that who will stand up to the president. But that said, it'll be very hard to have the Congress focus on something like this before a special prosecutor is appointed by the Justice Department, because whoever that FBI director is, while they're investigating this campaign and this case, they can't be reporting up through Jeff Sessions and his people. Just not working.
Do appreciate that, Christopher Hahn, oftentimes substitute here at WABC. But I will tell you this. They need to get the Trump house in order, lickety-split. When he goes on this trip to the Vatican, to Israel, to Saudi Arabia next week, if all of a sudden it's Comey, Comey, Comey here on our nation's doorstep of Washington, D.C., the president is going to be ill-prepared to defend himself while on the road. They really need to buckle down and have a plan of action. He cannot just fly on the seat of his pants any longer on this one, because Comey will emerge when the president is on the road, and I have a feeling that's when the python will strike.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel found a Curtis Sliwa.
Really trying to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
That was obvious today in the presidential address to the graduates of the Coast Guard Academy when the president was talking about how he's been vilified by the media, but that you have to fight, fight, fight. And he's in quite the battle now with this constant talk of the Comey memo. The Comey memo drop. Comey, Comey, Comey. On the line to discuss it, Scotty Nelius, a grassroots political strategist, Trump supporter, frequently seen on CNN. Thanks for joining us again here on the Drive Home at 5, Scotty.
Good evening and good afternoon, and thank you for having me. You know what is missing from this conversation? Common sense. And I am so glad you had me on this afternoon to talk common sense, as I know you deal in that world, I deal in that world, and probably your listeners do as well. The timeline is not matching up about Comey right now. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And look, I never trusted Comey. I didn't like the way he operated during the election process and really felt the president should have sacked him maybe a day or two after his inauguration.
Oh, absolutely. But then you would have had liberals like we've talked about in the previous and Never Trumpers probably have this big, you know, brouhaha about how he was trying to cover up something. So let's talk about the timelines and all of this. First of all, the date of this supposed memo, which certain people have only been privileged to see, and by certain people, I mean the press, which, first of all, our first scary thought should be the fact that someone who is so worried about this being a national security issue that they run to the press rather than run to the attorney general. That's our first kind of, you know, evidence that something's not right here. That memo was dated February 14th, Valentine's Day. Yet the day before is when President Trump let General Flynn go. So this is a casual conversation that was happening between President Trump and Director Comey that used the words hope. You know, Democrats' favorite word, hope and change. Hope. I hope you don't necessarily go after him, because at that time, President Trump thought he had done what was needed to clear this out of his administration. And yet here you have it 3 months later, FBI Comey, after being fired himself, is now bringing up this supposed memo that we have really yet to see ourselves. And the truth was, back on January 23rd, everybody from the Hill to the Washington Post reported that the FBI was no longer going to look into General Flynn. So I do not understand why we have this big brouhaha right now, except for one reason and one reason only, to continue to demonize this administration and take away from the real issues that are happening, that are facing your listeners and I and you today, like healthcare, like our taxes, those sort of things.
But Scotty Nelius, the president, has said that he was going to sack James Comey regardless of what report came from the deputy attorney general through the attorney general's office. And he seemed to allude that it had to do with the Russian investigation, or did I misinterpret that?
Well, the fact that you said allude, there's no concrete evidence. In fact, gossip is not evidence. And when I hear my colleagues in the media, and I know this frustrates you because you deal in facts on your show, when I have people say, I guess, or suppose it, or like you just mentioned, allude, that says opinion. That is not fact. And that is the key in all this. I have no doubt, even if Hillary Clinton, God bless her dear heart, would have won the day after the election, she would have fired Director Comey. When would have been a good time to fire the man without some sort of investigation or political collusion sort of threat being made by the opposite side? There would have been no good time. And so what President Trump did is he waited until you had, and by the way, this also shows
why we're dealing in anonymous sources. The Washington Post wrote that secretary that we're talking about, attorney general or assistant attorney general Rosenstein, he threatened to resign after he heard that President Trump fired Comey because of his report. Well, that wasn't true either, as Rosenstein the next day had to refute. That Rosenstein said the whole time, I did this, and Rosenstein has been hired by both administrations. He put this report together that ultimately led to the same conclusion that I think that the majority of Americans who looked at this had come to the same result as well. Comey needed to go. He refused to investigate his own committee, and therefore that was the first sign, I think, to any Republican that said keep him, that he was not going as FBI director.
But Scotty Nelius, when the president decided to tweet out, James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press, you know he opened up a Pandora's box, because the assumption is that Trump has been taping conversations that he's had at the White House.
And then we heard today that Russia, you had Vladimir Putin not making fun of Americans, but more importantly, making fun of our press, saying that he was going to release the transcripts from the conversations that happened within that room. This is the Nixon thundercloud that hangs over every administration, especially if they're GOP, that come into the world. This is just the threat that they're always going to have. But yet, we have seen no crime committed. We have seen no real actual evidence.
Right, but Scotty, why doesn't somebody in the White House or the president himself just say, we don't tape conversations? I noticed that ever since he tweeted that out, a code of omerta has gripped the White House.
Absolutely, and I think that's actually an excellent idea. And if I had the ability to send that to the president, I would. I agree. That would put a lot of the frustrations, I think. But here's what's interesting about this. The more that you have the American media have this hyperventilation over the Comey memo that we have yet to see, and all of this brouhaha that happens, the more ridiculous they look. And so to a certain extent, it serves a purpose to show that the media is out there to expose the media for the, I want to say this nicely, but for the wolves in sheep clothing that they try to be. It made it obvious with this latest anonymous source threat that has come out there that a lot of folks in the media are out to make sure that President Trump is impeached. And there are Democrats who back them up on that by saying the I word. So it has exposed a lot of members of the media who were giddy with this idea for what we've all known that they are. And so as long as they continue to have this brouhaha circus over situations like this, I think it serves the purpose of showing what is their real intention. Is it for America or to take down President Trump?
Do appreciate that. That's Scotty Nelius, as you can tell, always ready to go back to the wall in defense of President Donald Trump.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Those who practice like you.
Deep into the headlines. Deep into the streets.
This is good.
Deep into your eyeballs.
How disgusting.
Studio View is live right now. WABCRadio.com.
Five 5:40. We continue here on the Drive Home at 5. And in June, it's always the annual Puerto Rican Day Parade. This year, it falls on a Sunday on June 11th. And major news in terms of the parade, because it's major sponsor, they've been with them through many decades. Goya Foods has decided that they're opting out. They don't want to be part of the parade. They don't want to be a sponsor of the parade. They didn't say that this would have an impact next year or the following year. They just said for this year. And most people trace that specifically to the fact that Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico, the outgoing speaker of the 51 Slackers and Deadbeats of the New York City Council, has decided that this parade will be dedicated to the FALN terrorist Oscar Lopez Rivera, just recently released from federal prison. On the line to discuss this is Herson Borrero, political commentator on New York One. You can watch him debate with me the issues of the week every Wednesday night, both at 7 and 10. If you get Spectrum, New York One. He's also editor-at-large of City and State. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5 again, Herson.
Thank you so much, Curtis. And it appears that every time that the Puerto Rican Day Parade comes around, it's an annual event. It's bochinche time. Bochinche means gossip. because right now, you know how I feel about the parade? I've, you know, criticized them in the past when they deserve to be criticized. This time, it's fake news. Fake news about Boya, fake news about the parade. Yes, they actually said they would not be a sponsor this year. They did it in a call. I can report you. Nobody else has this, but I can assure you that it was a call from the company, a representative of the company that called Lorin Cortez Vasquez, who is the chairperson of the parade. And I can tell you further that the communication at no point between those two, and you're getting something nobody else has, actually had to do with economic reasons. There was no threat. There was no negotiation. They just pulled out. After 59 years, I find that Goya took a real harsh position in doing that because, you know, the parade is June 11th. So we're less than a month there, and they actually pull out one of the major sponsors with a history of parade. It is alleged, it is said, the fake news that it's due to the fact that they're honoring Oscar Lopez Rivera. You do have right. For a change, you get something right. That Melissa Mark Viverito and Lorin Cortez Vasquez, who actually is a senior advisor. See, the bochincha here should be that the senior advisor recently hired in February to the mayor should have removed herself, recused himself for being the chairperson and deciding who marches in the parade because she is a paid, salaried advisor to the mayor of New York City who's running for re-election. Melissa Mark Viverito has undue influence on the parade board, especially the chairperson. So the bochincha here, yes, Goya has a right to pull out. They are affecting not only the parade, scholarships they give to, I think it's near to a quarter of $1 million, $250,000. That makes a big hole. There is talk about, you know, retaliating against Goya, boycotting the products, or burn the product. They, all of that, great news, great bochincha. But it seems like there's always something happening with the parade. It can go up. Whether you agree or not, whether Oscar Lopez Rivera is a national hero or not, people have issues with that.
Well,
you know what they can do? They can stay home. They cannot come to the parade.
Yeah, but Hersin, I figure, why not go for a two-for-one? You have Oscar Lopez Rivera just released from federal prison after many years being incarcerated as a member of FALN.
Right.
You have Chelsea Manning just released from detention. Being the traitor that he is to America for all those purloined secrets. Why not just have Oscar Lopez Rivera and Chelsea Manning walk down Fifth Avenue in Puerto Rican pride?
They can do whatever they want. They're entitled to. You know, Oscar served 35 years for seditious conspiracy. He didn't kill anyone. There was never proven that he bombed anyone. So, go, you know, let's stop with the fake news. Let's go what's reality. He did. Look, the FALN membership, the association has not resulted in his particular case that he was actually convicted of killing anyone, or it was not proven in federal court after extensive investigation.
Right, but am I not correct
anywhere.
That
so,
when
look, if you want Chester Manning, maybe he can march with you. You go up and down the parade. Why don't you march with both of them, and you can hold hands with both of them, and you can even kiss them. I'd like to see Curtis Lewa in his beret and the red satin jacket, walk up. Why don't you hold one in one arm and one in the other? You'd be the perfect misfit for this parade.
Now, didn't then President Bill Clinton pardon Oscar Lopez Rivera and the other FALN members as a favor to Hillary when she was running for the U.S. seat being vacated by Daniel Moynihan? Then he refused the pardon. Oscar Lopez Rivera refused Bill Clinton's pardon.
Wrong. He actually turned down the pardon by Bill Clinton because it did not include all the political prisoners incarcerated at that point. And to his credit, everybody else took the deal and he got stuck with the extra penitentiary time. That's what happened. And thank God that Barack Obama, in his humane way, saw it that the 74-year-old man who has now led into another life, I don't know how many years he has in liberty, will enjoy this with his family. And he paid his debt to society, which was seditious conspiracy. Not that he didn't want to put anybody.
But Hersin Borrero, the question now is, if Goya, the main sponsor, is pulled out of the annual Puerto Rican Day Parade, June 11th up Fifth Avenue, will JetBlue follow? Will Coca-Cola follow? Will the other main sponsors follow? Because it costs some coin to put that parade on.